and welcome into the Facts Not Feelings podcast, powered by BZ Consultants Group, with your host, Brooke Furness. Each week, I sit down with experts in the respected fields as we discuss how we can move this wonderful automotive industry forward by differentiating facts from feelings. Our conversation explores how my guests got to where they are today and how they achieve success. All right, let's jump in.
Welcome into Facts Not Feelings. I am your host, Brooke Furness. Today, we are diving deep into the art and science of customer experience. With us today is David Malone, Chief Sales Officer of Total CX. And he is ready to unravel the secrets of transforming customer effort into loyalty and navigating the digital landscape in customer interactions. So if you are keen to discover the future of customer experience and its impact on your business, man, this is the episode you've been waiting for. David, let's dive into this. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, Brooke. I appreciate it. I'm so honored to be here. I feel like you're like the Joe Rogan of automotive. It's amazing. It's like I'm almost like my heart's beating. I'm like, she's so dang funny and good. What do I do with this? But here I am. Let's have some fun.
Oh, that I will take that to be anything like Joe Rogan and podcasting. That's like the best compliment anyone could get. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. No, you've earned it. So great job on all that you do.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I so appreciate it. So let's just dive straight into the meat of all this. Like sure. We had Gary was going to come on the show and you have stepped into his massive shoes to fill his void right now. And I go, oh my gosh, I love this topic so much. So I'm so excited to jump in this. And I'm going to go on a limb and say the audience is going to be pretty excited. Minus the voice right now. You got to just differentiate between, is that Brooke? Is it Cookie Monster? We're not really sure. But it's something. At least I have sound coming out of the voice here.
Well, you did 2 billion, 2 billion things in NADA. So that you have a voice at all is phenomenal. So you took the drug. But no, you know what? I can never replace Gary. Gary is on a whole other universe. You know, some people have Elon Musk. We have Gary Graves. So, I'll never replace him, but he's a busy man. He's going in 20 bazillion different directions right now. So I'm going to just try to get on first base, let alone what he would do. Yeah.
You know, sneak a home run in their last sets. You never know, man. You swing for the fences.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Oh, man. Okay. So let's dive into this here.
Sure.
Can you tell us about how the customer effort directly influences brand loyalty and the repeat business?
You know, that's a great question. I'll tell you why. Because not only are we trying to give an amazing customer experience to our dealerships, our customers, right? That's who they are. But behind the scenes, what most people don't recognize, we're trying to give a phenomenal customer experience to the end user, the dealership's customers. So I think we've done a really good job of connecting those dots, even behind the scenes, that end user customer who calls into a dealership for fixed ops or for sales, they don't even know that we're behind the scenes teeing up scenarios, communication with the dealership to best make sure that that experience is phenomenal for the employee and for the customer all the way through. Going back to Gary, Gary spent a lot of time over the last decade working on these things behind the scene. I mean, we were doing AI before AI was really, that big of a deal of a buzzword. And now everybody wants to talk about AI. We've been doing it for 10 years, to Gary's part, to Jack Behar's part.
And it's incredible. We'll get into a little bit more about Total CX. For me, I was just so blown away at the real-time alerts. I go, hold up.
Yeah.
What was this? What is this sorcery you speak of? Like, seriously? Yeah. And I know we're going to get into it, but that was something that really, once I understood, I don't know a whole lot. I knew to an extent, but then I sat and talked and we had like a good hour conversation. So shout out. Thank you, Jen, for introducing us. Well, reintroducing, because you and I feel like we have known each other for a while and our paths keep crossing like two cells.
Two boats at night, just going like this once in a while. that's just an automotive. It happens like that. So we have been reintroduced. I've been following your career. And you've been, honestly, you've been on this trajectory that has been just flying through the atmosphere. So props to you. Trust me. Lots of love for you for what you're doing. I think you're putting automotive in communications like never before. So again, the Joe Rogan comment fits you, Brooke. So anyway.
Well, I am truly humbled by it's always so crazy to me, like when you meet someone that you didn't even know was out there, like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And so I sincerely appreciate it. Thank you. It's because of people in the audience, members like you that keep the show going and make it successful. So I super, super appreciate it. Let's get back to a little bit about customer experience, obviously total CX here a little bit. But when it comes to, when you're talking about effort, so looking at effort of what goes in it, could you give an example of a company that just really nailed reducing that customer estimate and just made it way more seamless for the customer versus them having to jump around, hey, I got to click on this, or, you know, for phone, hey, I've got 17 phone trees. I don't know what to do with them. Like, give an example of that.
So we have thousands of customers on our platform. Most of them probably wouldn't want other customers knowing that they're on our platform. They feel like it's their secret sauce. But, you know, a couple of different dealerships that are okay with knowing that. I don't know if you know who Carlo is or Lexus of Pembroke Pines. Huge user, phenomenal, knows all about customer experience, lives and breathes it. Their store is phenomenal with it. On the going back to the live alerts, I'll give a little bit more detail on the tech part of it. You know, there's a few, Northside Imports, which is a store out of Houston. Another, they live and breathe off of what happens when a phone rings into their store, where it needs to go to, right? Because the problem with other companies that we've competed with in the past, when you don't have live alerts, when you don't have something that tees up customer experience, everything that happens after the phone call is over becomes white noise to dealerships. And at that point, you know, if they know they got to respond 20 minutes, let alone 2 hours down the line off of what happened to a phone call, general managers, BDC teams, it becomes white noise. So what we have done, going back to your point to explain a little bit, we do a great job of understanding who that customer is as they are calling in. And so will you, right? Regarding, depending on the DMS, depending on the CRM, you know, sometimes in some of the DMSs, you got some phone pops, let you know who the customer is. On the CRM side, they know what's going on immediately with things that are important to them. Live alerts, you mentioned that, Brooke. We have some dealerships, you know, during the pandemic that, let's face it, inventory was low, right?
A little bit.
If somebody used the word trade, it was like the biggest thing in the world. It was gold to them. So we have a few dealerships that I can't announce here who they are. They probably wish we'd keep the secret. But, you know, when the word trade was mentioned, they would have live alerts going to the sales managers or whoever wanted, that general manager, whoever needed to receive that phone call. It is going on now. So the people that were responsible for appraising that vehicle, they get the alert right on their cell phone or via email. They're jumping on while the call is happening. They know exactly what's going on. So they are hot on the sauce. So they could either leave it right there. But what a lot of them do is we have a barge system that can talk right to the salesperson who's taking that phone call without the customer knowing about it, as example. And they'll either give them some tips of what to say, nothing long, right? This is a quick conversation. You got to be ready for it. But we train those people, the general managers, general sales managers, BDC managers who are talking to these employees, the right thing to say quickly. That way they just help the customer get through a great experience. They feel like this person's truly listening to me. He knows exactly what I want to do, when I want to do it. And that's the most important thing. A deal will either be won or lost depending on the speed of that transaction. We recognize that. So we didn't want to be the white noise company. We didn't want to be the everybody does the same darn thing the last 10, 15 years in call tracking and end-to-end telephony. We wanted to be the tip of the spear for that customer with live alerts, putting them, that's the money call. That's the money call in the sales. And we didn't even dive into, my gosh, fix ops and what that could mean for there. We will get theirs later, but you can tell I'm pretty pumped.
He's pretty pumped. Passionate over here, man. He love it. I love it.
You know what? Because I've watched dealerships grow. I've watched dealerships go from what they considered a small store to a medium store in months to a large store in a year, because this puts their sales team, their fixed ops team, in a position to best give that customer the best experience possible. And that's what creates loyalty. Going back to what you said, Brett, to start off the conversation, everything I just mentioned, if that customer feels heard, that's where the loyalty comes in, and that's where they will be back. You can't do that after the call is hung up and it's over with and it's down. I mean, you can, but it's a lot harder. It's more difficult, and it's a longer process, and they don't feel heard. They just feel like it's after the fact. Let's get it done now. And that's how we win the deal for our customers.
And I just want to circle back, because like hearing the whole lifetime alert, that one like really just like stuck in my brain for a lot of reasons. And to keep this as generic as possible, so I I think it was like a pilot program you showed me, but
yeah,
there's certain words like trade. You mentioned trade. Maybe there's some Brook words that if those Brook words are said, you want to be notified. Hey, we're running specials on, I think you said Toyota earlier. So a Toyota Corolla. Hey, anytime I said mentioned, why are we not being pinged about that? Service, same thing. If someone calls in and they're, you know, the majority of service phone calls are going to be about updating, give me an update on my RO and give me when can I come in for service. Once again, if those are do you want those pings? So also understand how many notifications you want. But I love the fact that they're so customizable of really like any word you want to say or have it pinged. It's like your wish is granted. So I love that about it.
You nailed it. I was going to use the word customizable. You beat me to it because you paid attention, bro.
I try.
You are good. You are so good. So that's just it. You know, a lot of people say, oh, dealerships, they're all alike. Dealerships, we think the opposite. We feel like every dealership, the way they want to strategically get together on first engagement with a customer is sometimes different. So saying that, we customize things that are important to that dealership. It could be key phrases, could be key words. It can be certain campaigns. What if that dealership, going off of what you just said, just did a campaign on something they want their service team to really pay attention to because it's a moneymaker or they need to boost that part of the business? Great. That's going to be very transparent now within the dealership. I can tell them exactly how many people called, where they did well, where they missed the opportunity, all within the same day. It's not like, oh, we got to figure out a report and then create something. No, I'm talking live time. During the call, even reports during that day that we will get to that dealership to let them know we did fairly well here. We killed it here. We didn't do too good here. Let's fix it for the next day. Either way, we put them in that position.
And going to the question we had just previously about reducing the customer effort, but more like that customer anxiety that I'm not being heard. I've got to jump through all these hoops. When you're having something that's live or as live as it can be, I understand like certain technologies. We recently had Greg Ash on, and we were talking about lifetime alerts with other things. And like he's like, we actually had to learn that we can't do it as quick. We need a little bit of delay, but it's still the fastest to market on what they were doing. Because it's a little creepy sometimes when the customer's like, wait, how do you know I'm on this page? Or in this case, how do you know we're talking about this? But taking that and then personalize it to the consumer. Because if you got someone talking in your ear, as we talked about as well, you got to make that conversation really quick because you got the customer yapping away.
Yes.
Apparently, the customer yapping. I don't know what that was, Bear. And then you've got your manager saying something. So all this training and to be able to know that how frustrating is it to all of us when we call in to wherever. Even I love Delta and calling to Delta, you call into American Express, you call into wherever your Blue Cross Blue Shield. You tell the whole story and then you got to tell it again. And then you got to tell it again. And it's just like, can we please just stop this? Someone could automatically jump in and be like, hey, I can answer that for you. This is the question. And this customer is obviously very upset at this point. They've usually keep the secret word of frustration, or it's escalated too far, whatever it may be. But to have that, man, that's gold right there. I mean, that talk about reducing that customer frustration, it's huge, huge.
It's huge. You know, I'll just call. I called Verizon. I'm a Verizon user by other day. And I had to tell the same story three different times to three different people. And they're a telephony provider, for heaven's sakes, right? So you're right about that, Brooke. I mean, our job and our goal is we don't want that customer to feel like they have to go through that route every single time. And we created things in place where they shouldn't have to, right? Unless the dealership completely blows through the stop signs of what we have done for them and where we've teed it up, right? If they don't blow through those stop signs and just go follow the process, they are going to look like heroes. And going back to the words that we're both using, the customer feels heard. And at the end of the day, as you and I both know, with all the years that you've been in automotive, CSI is a big deal, right? With the OEMs, with the departments. So we want to make sure that this customer doesn't have any reason to be upset. They are heard. If they feel like they're heard, even in a challenge or a problem, they're still going to get through it a whole lot better than going, they are not hearing me. I just said this three separate times of four separate people. I'm over it, right? Then they're going to blast you somewhere.
Yep.
We keep that dealership out of those problems if they just follow the strategy that we put in front of them.
I love it. So because you're talking about Verizon, I'm thinking automatically misconceptions. Like to your point, it's a telephony company, yet they apparently sucked when you were talking to them. And we said we had to have that. It's almost like, are you eating your own dog food? So I'll turn around a little bit with you. What are some of those misconceptions about customer experience in business today? And obviously, you're with Total CX, and your background is quite amazing when it comes to telephony products. We'll leave it at that. So it can be even just in your own area of expertise. What are those misconceptions people see all the time or are asking you about?
That's a great question. Yeah, I'll start off at least with, you know, Total CX. We have such huge data points. We collect so much tons of information for the customer and the dealership. Sometimes people have used the words, oh, they're a data dump company, or they're just a data company. And you know what? On one hand, that's a little bit of a compliment, but two, it just makes me recognize they don't realize what we do with that data. And that goes back to the customer experience. And yeah, we have a lot of data, but it's not just a dump. We give people next task steps. So yeah, it's a lot of data. And yeah, I can send you reports after reports. You can get all that, no problem. But if you're looking for general steps, this shouldn't be hard, right? Well, the whole thing that we're trying to do is when a customer calls in, we're trying to make them feel heard. On the service side, we want to make sure that we put them in the right place quickly. On the sales side, do they get them to the right person that knows is that middle, you know, right there on their lot? All the things that are important to them, this shouldn't have to be rocket science. But people just don't have technology ready to go like we have built over the last, again, 10 years that puts them in that spot. So for us, we're not a data dump company. We are a customer experience company that allows, and we put tasks in place for the dealership. If they follow it, they know exactly where to go, where this customer wants to go, and that puts them in a place where they're going to get the brand loyalty, right? The customer does not know why they're going to call back that dealership, but we know why, because we made them feel like they called a dealership that was ready for them. When our dealerships answer the phone, they're ready for that customer for lots of reasons. And that's what we want to make sure. It's not just one more customer. We make everybody feel like their customer is a VIP because we have tools in place for them to utilize that.
Yeah, man, there's so much to unpack there. And I could sit there and go over it, but I think you did such a great job talking about it. There's got to be an incredible story that you all have that, hey, this business over here, this dealership, they were so focused on customer experience that it literally changed. And literally changed the business relationship with that customer. Do you have any awesome stories like that?
So, you know what? If I continue to brag about Northside Imports. The owner over there is Bruce. He's a very humble guy, so he probably wished that I would talk about him. But
sorry, Bruce.
The facts are that guy is the guru of understanding how to make a customer feel like $1 million. And he knows that it starts on the phone. And he knows when a phone call comes in is where does his teammates thrive? You know, where can they strive and where can they hit a home run? So we've watched this dealership who, again, consider an import store. You wouldn't think that they would move that many units. Oh, my gosh. They've gone from this. I can't give any numbers away, but they've gone from moving the units that they did to even on our platform, even an import store. And they're doing some as much as very large franchise stores. So, you know, that have 500 vehicles on their lot. So, you know, I watched a lot of people grow like that. We watched a lot of customers start at level, you know, 3. And now they're humming at level 8 and 9, knowing that they have the plan in place to get to 10. And they're a step or two away from it. And they recognize that. And they're so excited. And that's why I get pumped. Because that's my home run. I hate the bit. I mean, I'm a teacher. You know, I'm a teacher. I'm a coach. That's where I thrive in this business world. And when I get to watch dealerships grow, and I call them every couple of months and say, where are you at? And they say, we have grown X percent. We've had to hire 3 more salespeople. We've had to hire 8 more service advisors. Whatever that scenario is, the growth is phenomenal.
I love hearing that. And that takes us into like this next. So there's customer journey mapping. Like we've talked a little about this before in other shows, but what you're doing right now is you're so focused on customer experience. I'm curious, like how would effectively identify and address those pain points, either through your tool or just in general?
At the end of the day, we're a detective, right? We know, like for instance, let me give you one example. Abandoned calls are still a big deal. Now we don't create the abandoned calls. We don't cause the abandoned calls, but they still happen. Our goal is to tee them up. Well, that sounds so simple. But what we found is this. NADA, you know, depending on where you're at geographically, on a sales call, if a dealership spends X amount of dollars on a budget for what it takes the phone to ring, it could be anywhere from $250 to $500 a call, right? And even if you only get, if you get three calls that come in a day and three of them either got stuck on hold, the customer called in on their cell phone, maybe they're in a bad spot, and the phone call dropped on their end, and they're like, oh, I'll call later. But what if they forget? What if they don't? What if something comes up where they, oh, I'm going to call those guys instead, not the original guy? We make sure that even on abandoned calls that we capture them. We make sure that's the quickest engagement back to, we reroute it back to your world, Brooke, either to a BDC team, right? Or to even for reception if they want to go that route. But we make sure even on that scenario that even abandoned calls from the first engagement are handled perfectly. Because that way, if you miss only three calls a day, that's $1,000, mm-hmm. right? So much money out the window. And those are the ones that haven't connected yet. So yeah. We want to make sure that we put our dealerships in the perfect scenario where they don't waste money on advertisement. That would kill us if we went down that road.
Oh, and there's so much money of the phone calls coming in, and are things set up correctly? Are you spending? There's so many ways to take this. But at the end of the day is that you have one chance to make a first impression. And I know that's cliche. I'm fully aware of that. But it's so true. I can tell you right now, I've told the story about a year ago. I was getting a Stanley, which now I've just blown up, for my niece. I had no idea what they were. I was like, those green canteen things? They're like, yeah. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So I'm trying to get, I had such a horrible experience just trying to get back in touch with anyone. And I go, I will never buy from this company ever again. Like I literally have a Stanley sitting over here that I should probably put on StockX, make a lot of money off it. I haven't, but it's like, I can't even work with that company anymore because of how horrible the first impression of their customer support was. So it makes such a difference when you have some, and I was just talking to a company today, and they were just so, all right, how else can we help you? It's almost like a Chick-fil-A experience or an Apple experience where they actually are listening and hearing you, call me crazy, and wondering how can they best either hear you and or how can we fix the problem? How can we make it right? And it's just unfortunately we've gotten in the place in the world, in society, that customer experience is nowhere near what it used to be. In my opinion, that's what I've seen. So when people do good, they have amazing customer service, you are so far ahead of anybody else and your competitors because you've taken the chance and the choice, the opportunity to say, I'm going to put you first. And it just makes such a difference, such a difference.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, you know, off of what you said, we're an end-to-end telephony provider. Well, what does that mean? Anything from the actual hosted phone system in the cloud to all the analytics, the brains and the engine inside of it. And why it becomes seamless is because we own all parts of it, including we have our own sales team, our sales training team that even teaches fixed ops and salespeople the right thing to say off of what you just said, Brooke. First engagement. Are they saying the right thing right off the bat, both in service and sales, you know, and parts in whatever division? So we own our whole platform where other competitors, they have to go out and seek out partners, or they have to go this and that. And it's all over the place and it doesn't seem seamless. And guess what? When a customer calls, it's not. That's why they had to talk to four different people to get one answer. We own all of it. And that's the great news. I think that's what separates us and sets us apart.
It is. And that was another thing that I didn't know about you all, that you all do own all your technology, which is pretty cool. So I want to take this a little different direction as we've talked about the experience. But the communication part is so big. So how does a well-structured communication plan enhance the customer journey, especially in the buying cycle?
Going back to our training team, because again, a phone call that comes in, sometimes to our competitors, that's just dial tone. Anybody can call in. Who cares? But from there, going back to our sales training team, we call it Sensei. The product is Sensei, if anybody wants to know. So if they're like, hey, we know through COVID, our teams got rusty, or maybe we just need to get better on the phone. Great. Let us help you with that. We've been doing this for a long time. We know where to help our biggest biggest teams. So let us start from the beginning, right from the beginning, and let us help you coach that customer to get them what they want right off the bat. So I would start there.
I love it. So, and then you all, it's not just the teaching portion and the training portion. You guys have so much technology that goes in this. So what role does technology play in all of this, keeping the customer, enhancing that customer journey, keep the buy cycle going, keeping the after the sell from the service standpoint, because need the repeating for full business. So what role does technology play in this?
Well, that's the great part, right? I mean, automation's got to be the key, going back to keywords or free. But the good news is it's out there, right? We want to make our system as robust as it is, friendly and easy to use from the front end, right? If everybody in the dealership is using a tool that's not cumbersome, it's not tough, that means they're also going to deliver their best self to their customer. And when I do that, we do that for them. All of a sudden, it just feels very like a clean transaction. Almost feels so easy. So automation is a big key, right? So from the front end, when calls are first happening, there's a lot of automation that goes there. We can do a deep dive, but just know that we try to make sure that conveyor belt is smooth. And the customer is almost sitting there, very easily without feeling a bumps in the road. From there, we have automation reports. We have automation things that let dealer principals, even at their level, general managers, know you don't have to sift through this big old, pile of rubble of what happened in that call. No, here's a report. Here's a phone call. This is what we'll share with you. Again, we're your detective. We're going to make this really easy for you to know transparently that this customer was either taken care of or they weren't. At the end of the day, that's what the dealer principal wants to know. Was my customer taken care of? And we can show them that very easily on a minute by minute basis, to a daily, to a weekly basis.
That is so, I love it so much. And that is a perfect segue as we're speaking about technology, and it's incredible how it's reshaping customer interactions to be more effective and personalized. And that brings us to a very, very important message for our incredible sponsor, Total CX. They are the top telephone provider for automotive dealers. Total CX goes beyond just calls. They're a game changer with real-time alerts, as we discussed earlier, on missed opportunities, instant summaries, and full integration with every CRM and DMS out there. Are you intrigued? Because I know that I'm super intrigued right now. But wait, there's more. You get a car. There's more to this. Hold on here, ladies and gentlemen. According to a Wide-Well study, such innovative communication tools significantly boost customer satisfaction. So if you're in the automotive sector, which most of you watching and listening are, looking to elevate your customer engagement, which I'm hoping that you are as well, Total CX is the answer. Discover how they can transform your dealership's experience. Whew, that was a lot, man. There was a lot, and it's all true. And I can say this firsthand. I look at so many different products, and you're looking to say, okay, this will work with here. And the first time I got introduced to you, I was with a client that had a drive centric. And
yes.
It was actually, I believe it was Carl with whom I spoke. And he goes, honestly, this is the best call tracking provider we've ever had. They're phenomenal. We've been with them since day one. I can't tell you. He should be your spokesperson, because he just went on and on about how awesome the integration was. It's so great. I was like, okay, all right. You're loving it. I love hearing this.
Well, and if anybody knows Carlo, it's not just because he's a nice guy, even though he is, he's a phenomenally nice guy, but how can I say this? They're in the Miami market. Mm-hmm. They don't have time to mess up. His team has to be perfect. So he's not the type of guy that's just going to go, oh, I'm just going to put up with any tool. If you are not hitting a home run for him and his team every single day, trust me, they would replace us just like that. And you know what? And they should. So knowing who Carlo is, on where he sets the bar, and it's extremely high, that we're able to hit that for him every single day. Thank God, because the guy's 6'13", and I wouldn't want him pounding on me. But I mean, the dude's big and strong and muscles. But the good news is we perform for him every single day. So otherwise, we wouldn't be here. It's just that simple.
It's so true. And I want to go back a little bit on this whole automation thing, because that is also, we've got so much AI out there and the automation. So my question to you on this one is, how do you balance this automation? Plus, you got to have that personal touch to end those customer interactions to enhance that customer experience. So how do you go about doing that?
You know, and they don't have to be separate. You know, sometimes people hear automation, but, people, maybe that means there's a separation. No, the opposite. That just means our automation is going to put the dealerships in a play to get them the information that they need so they can perform in front of their customer. That's it. If I can make sure that I teed up something perfectly for my customer and they know that here's all the right things that they need to do to perform, they're going to absolutely make that customer go, man, this dealership knows what they're doing. Why would I ever want to go anywhere else? And that's what we do. The automation You put that together with the personalized, you know, personalities of most people, going back to Carlo, and I can name a lot of other people. If I had permission to use the name, I would love to, because we have so many superstars on our platform that use this automation. And then because I hear what's going on, right? I get to hear what's going on in the back end for all my dealerships across the world. And I know who's hitting out of the park and who's not. Most of them are hitting out of the park. And it's exciting to see them use that automation, and they say something, they do something with that customer, and you can just see the light bulb go off with that customer going, holy smoke, these guys know what they're doing. I could just tell they're buying a car today. They didn't say it yet, but they're buying a car today, or they're getting their service done today because they're like, that they just treated me like a VIP. But sometimes without automation, you don't always get that opportunity to make them feel that good about it. But the automation made them go, okay, that was seamless. That was quick. I got to the point. They know who I am, and let's roll. And that's what a customer wants to feel like. So the automation helps our customer deliver that.
Yeah, it is. I've said this before, but it is. It's so true. Knowing exactly where they are and everything, and having that, I'll say, that nice hybrid of both, because you need both. I mean, there's so much that can work smarter, not harder. That's the game right now. So I want to go to the marketing side of this. So for those that are listening, they're in the marketing world, and they're thinking, that's great, this seems like it's only helping sales or service. So my question to you is, how does the customer experience and all that data you all have, how does that help to create more effective campaigns?
So believe it or not, we actually have a lot of our really good dealerships and groups focus on the fix op side of campaigns and marketing. So you're right, Brooke. It's easy to go, it's a sales thing. Oh, no, you can. You know, we're great with all those. But the dealerships that make the most money on our tool are the fixed ops teams that recognize, if we do this campaign and we market it right, and now we have the breadcrumb trail on where they started, right? D&I, dynamic number insertion, all the way through. And now we can show that general manager, that dealership, that, you know, dealer principal, where they made their money. Where could they make more money? Where are some of the campaigns not doing as well as they thought? Again, we're the detective, and we will come alongside them and we will show them. You know, we like to meet with our dealerships, you know, as much as they want. They can meet every day if they wanted with us, but usually the answer is once a month or once a quarter. We like to get on the side by them. They all have an XM that with them, and they could say, hey, Brooke, I'm looking at this report. Here's all the campaigns that you have done in the last month. Here's, matter of fact, we can even break it down to where each individual person on their team succeeded or struggled, all the way to what campaign was the most successful or not. So we like to show them where we go from here. What next task can we do to set them apart from their competition who's spending all this money? It's easy to spend money on marketing. It's really hard to find out where it's doing well. And we want to make sure that we know that we help them where it's doing well.
So you're talking about, you know, where to do, how to inspect this. The question is, I'm sure that you never get asked this. All right, what are the key metrics I need to be focused on? All right, Dave, I appreciate it, but what the hell are we doing here? Like, is it good? Is it bad? I don't know. It's a report. Like, I can't tell the difference. What's going on with this?
Yeah. I'll go quick because there's a lot of them, right? But one, let's make sure that they're connecting and are having the phone call that is winning so far. That's one. Number two, where did that campaign come from? What customers did that come from? Where did they come from? Who answered it? How long were they on the call? How long were they on hold? I sure hope they weren't on hold for a long time. How long was the conversation? Within that keyword of the conversation, we can even tell you what keywords were spoken that really solidify if this customer is interested or not, or if they're willing to just hang up and call the next dealership. So there's a lot of data points. Sometimes it's as simple as, let's focus just on three to start with. We could do 20 in a conversation. We have those data points. But again, it shouldn't be difficult. We should make sure that that customer is being treated like the king or queen that they are, and our dealership employees are ready to handle that call. We make sure that they're in the right spot to do so.
Amen. Now, we've talked about marketing. We talked about sales. We touched on service, but I want to go back to service and fixed ops. I always have a little soft spot in my heart for fixed ops. So
I wonder why.
Hey, you know, I don't know why. I don't know, but I seem to, that turns out. And so you've got the fixed ops, right? How do the operations directors align with, we'll say, customer experience strategy to increase retention? Because we talk about this a lot. The sale happens And then we never try to do anything to bring that back in. The next thing you hear is like, coming for service. You're like, how about a little, ease me into it a little bit here. So how can that with fixed ops align better with customer strategies to increase retention?
I love, there's a lot of data points. Let's go off of when a store first starts with us. Let's just, wherever their CSI score is right now, let's just call it whatever it is. What I like to say is, let's do a 90-day, a 6-month, and a 1-year over on figuring out where you started and where you're at now. Because it's easy to digest and it's easy to calculate that number, right? Yeah. Because we know if they follow the strategy, if they follow the education that we give them, if they follow the word tracks that we, not even word tracks, just the communication on how to go about it, connecting your customer quickly, if they follow all the strategies that we give them, that's where their CSI scores are going to go up. And that's where we know, you know, even cost per customer that comes in, did that go up, right? Mm-hmm. Or were they able to make more money on an oil change this time around compared to 6 months ago? Because if they're not, their team's probably not saying a lot of the right things, or they're losing those customers. So we like to start where they're at today. Let's write all those data points down. And then at worst case, let's look at 90 days and 6 months on where they're at today. And then let's study how we can help them go farther. And it's a never ending process. Customers evolve, and so do we. Too many companies out there, if they think they have a really good product, they stop where they thought they were hitting a home run. But sooner or later, you can get caught up on it. Our philosophy is, we need to be better every single day. Our technology needs to be better every single day. How we train needs to be better every single day, because customers evolve. So there you go. I hope that answered it.
No,
that's a long-winded one, because it's a deep one.
No, it's all good. It is. And I know that I've worked for companies. I'm sure most of us that are listening or watching have worked for companies where they started off really great and they were the top, the king of the hill. They were on fire. No one could touch them. And then it just became very stagnant. And then soon they were no longer king of the hill and someone else came on top. And so it's just very interesting. That was the case of this company. Oh, and then you talk to other people like, oh yeah, that happened here. And so are you improving each day? Because if you're not, you're regressing. And I think too many people forget that, you don't just stay stagnant. If you stay stagnant, you're regressing. It's not a flat line. You're coming back because people are, as quickly as technology is changing, you better be proactively moving forward. Even if it's just a step. A step is, I mean, that's like, so do something to better yourself.
On the negative side, so we don't bring up automotive, think about BlackBerry. BlackBerry was the king.
Yeah.
Blockbuster. We can go on and on with those types of examples, right? We can go on and on. We don't. But you take a look at a lot of the, the top CRM companies and so forth. And I have a lot of good partners, so I don't want to point out anybody, even though I'd like to. There's a lot of good CRMs that have come out, and they're really great right now. Way better than what was going on 20 years ago. They're figuring it out. So I'm really stoked for where where automotive's going.
It is. So we're talking like, innovation. So innovation and operations is so insanely crucial. What have you personally seen that's impressed you?
For the innovation, I think within Total CX, we spent the last 2 years of putting all those pieces of the puzzle together. Like I mentioned, we bought a 30-year-old company for, our Sensei product. They were a different company. We watched call tracking be something out here. We watched all these different parts of what creates telephony, and we put them all together. That we had to be innovative to recognize where all the pieces of the puzzle were at and go, okay, great. We know they're out there, but how do we put them together? So I think we were very innovative on making sure we understood where the pain points are in dealerships, right? If they're struggling in call tracking, but they're also struggling on, where do we put this customer in now? We wanted to make sure that we knew all the pieces of the puzzle. We brought them in together. That way, again, it goes back to seamless. That's innovation for us.
Yeah, and it's going back to, we talked earlier about the innovation, not just the innovation, but automation and the human personal touch. And you have to have both, because technology, as great as it is, we've talked about AI a lot in the show, is as great as AI is, you are still the human in the situation. You're the human in the automation. Just because the CRM tells you to do something, do you really need to do it? I just talked to that person. So use your brain and know, hey, I can use that personal, it says to send a template, but probably better if I sent a video to them. That's a little bit more personalized. Yes, it's manual. Yes, you're not sending a template. It's a hell of a lot quicker than you typing out that email. I guarantee you it is. Oh, I guarantee it is.
Well said. It's like this is not your first rodeo or something.
Just a couple. Yeah. Still a little bit of a rookie here.
Yeah.
So we're looking at the employee experience. A lot of times it just gets overlooked. So how does the customer experience impact that?
You know, again, we know if the employee of a dealership makes a customer feel like they just won the lottery for calling them, we know that they're also going to be looked at by their superiors on how well they did. So our goal is to make sure that the employees that choose to hire us to help them make that phone call go from A to Z, we want to make them look like a superstar. And it's so much fun to hear meetings, again, going back to Carlo, bragging about his teammates that really jumped into the system and recognized how to best utilize it for their needs to make that customer, you know, feel great. Because at the end of the day, if they do that, they know they become a rock star in front of the dealer principal's mind and the Carlos of the world and the Bruce Glasscox of the north side. If they all know that they're going to hit a home run because they're in the right place with the technology we've given them, they feel very confident. And they're like, bring it on. Before, people are like, gosh, I hope the phone doesn't ring today. People are listening to me. No, we have given them the tool to make them feel extremely confident, and they can't wait to show off. That's what we've done.
That's so great. I am curious your take on where you've seen the evolution of customer expectations going in the future.
I think they're going to be super high. I feel like that's where the world's going, right? Regardless of what technology, right? You know, somebody orders a hamburger, it used to get to them in 20 minutes. How can you get to them in 10 now, right? Yeah. Let alone in automotive. I think that the customers are going to demand superior handling. You know, the prices of everything has gone up because of, you know, where we're at. And because of that, when people pay more, they also want to feel like they're treated better. So I feel like that's why we're not sitting on our laurels, right? Every single day, you know, the Jack Behar, the Gary Graves of our company and everybody in between knows that we're not going to sit on our hands just because we were perfect. Just because we were amazing yesterday doesn't mean that we're going to be amazing today, because it's easy to take our eye off the ball. So we think that we just got to continue to build something that makes dealerships go, this is what's next. We always want to say, that's what's next, but we want to be ahead of it.
It is. And so I want to wrap up with maybe a personal question for you, but how has your personal leadership style influenced your customer experience strategies, either with your team, with your clients, whatever it may be?
Thank you for that question. That's a great question. You know what? I feel like I'm very communicative. And I think I'm very transparent. I feel like you're a lot like that too, Brooke. I've watched you. And I think when your team recognizes that you're willing to stand behind them, have the conversations that are sometimes tough, but honest and genuine, all of a sudden you are looked at, that's a very transparent manager that's just looking out to help me. I have that same philosophy even with my customers. I want my customers to know, I'm going to be honest with them. I'm going to help them through good decisions, I hope. And at least give them my opinion, and it's up to them to make them from there. But my management style is all about communication. That's why I'm in communications. I like to make sure, you know, I have three sons, and they will tell you their whole lives that everything that I do is I look them in the eyes. This is where we're going. This is where we're headed. Or how can I want to hear from you on where you need help. That management style progresses into my business lifestyle too.
That is very eloquently said, and couldn't agree more. And it is amazing the difference when your employees know you'll run one through a wall for them. They're going to do the exact same thing. But the minute they don't feel valued and heard, back to this herd situation again, why would I ever go the extra mile? Why would I even put in half the effort if it's not going to be rewarded? And honestly, you just don't care. Like, you don't care at all. Like, so it makes a huge difference. And we all, as I'm sure listening to this right now, can pick out those managers or those leaders that we just like gravitated to them because of everything that they embodied. And it just made such a difference to this day. I mean, I know the managers that made such a difference on my life and made me better. I'm a hell of a lot better person than I was before I met them. I'm ever grateful for them, knowing that I knew without a shadow of doubt, they would not only be behind me, they'd be first in line to run through, you know, be the first line of defense. I mean, it's just, so it makes a massive, massive difference. So I would tend to agree on that one just a little bit there.
You know what? You can almost drop the mic on that one right there, because That was perfectly said. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day. So thanks for saying that. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. But David, we are now officially at the point. We're jumping into the lightning round with David Malone from Total CX here. So first and foremost, those are watching, we've got his personalized link right below here. But for those that are listening to podcasts like David, how can they get in touch with you?
My website is easy, right? TotalCX.com. They can go there. They can jump. I'm a big LinkedIn guy. Please send me a message on LinkedIn. Contact me there. Again, going back to communications, I'm not afraid. You can call me. Here's my number, 949-677-7837. I dare you to call me. I'm not afraid. Let's go.
Throwing down the phone number, throwing it down. Okay, so the name of the show is Facts, Not Feelings. So whether it's in your personal life or it's in your professional life, how are you personally deciding and differentiating between facts, not feelings?
So you know what? I try to be right down the middle with both of them regarding facts and feelings. I feel like I can combine them both if I'm genuine with myself. So if my facts and my feelings are the same, then 99% of the time, I feel like I am right on the road that I'm supposed to be. Sometimes I'm an emotional guy. Sometimes the facts need to overrun maybe what my heart wants to do. But again, sucking them back in and going, what's the best route? How do I still win the day for my family, for my friends, for my colleagues? That's how I go down that road.
That's a good way to do it. A little bit of both. I like it. Go back to the hybrid model there, man. I'm loving it. All right. So if you could have one superpower, what is it going to be?
Oh, my gosh. I would want to be able to start and stop time, right? I don't know if it's just automotive. I've been in this industry for a long time, and there's so much to do. There's so many people to get to. I would love to stop the clock and get a bunch of stuff done and then start again. That way I feel like I can get everything done. I want to make sure that I help everybody, I take care of everybody. And sometimes, man, there is just not enough time in the day to do it. So if I could stop that clock, I would do it. And work behind the scenes, get everything done, and then start the clock again. That'd be my superpower.
If you figure out how to do that, let me know, because I keep thinking I need to clone myself. But if I could just stop time, I might not have to clone myself. So you might.
That's, you know what? It's either or. Clone yourself or stop time. So I don't know how many awesome Brooks can be out there. So let's just say stopping time might be the best strategy. Exactly.
I don't know if the world can handle it to me. I'm not sure yet. So. Okay, let's wrap it up. If something the audience may not know about you, what's something that they may not know about you? Maybe a secret talent or something.
Oh, boy. So I'm a big sports fan. I love sports. I'm an ESPN junkie. Outside of automotive, I coached high school football for an awful long time. Just it's so much fun. I've competed in professional arm wrestling, which a lot of people give me grief over. So I've been in sports and weightlifting and you name it. I live in California, so the beach is big where we live, lots of water sports. So anything that has to do with sports and fun, I'm probably involved somewhere outside, you know, when I'm not here, killing it with Brooke and the automotive world.
Love it. So I got to go to this arm wrestling situation. Right-handed or left-handed?
So I compete in both. Okay. It's like boxing weight classes. You go right-handed, left-handed, in different categories. I've been competing since I was 18 years old. I'm now 118, but I still enjoy it. It's been a lot of fun. Most people don't know it's a chess match, but don't get me started, Brooke. Yes. You have your own arm wrestling podcast.
Open a boxer I didn't know about.
Yeah.
Well, no. So I'm fairly ambidextrous sports. Thank you, sports, for that. There's very few things. I write right-handed. I eat left-handed. Anyways. What was
me
weird?
Too.
Hey, see, there we go. Yes. So, but with anytime I would arm wrestle, because I was a massive tomboy growing up, I would always arm wrestle left because I was strong with my left hand, which really didn't make technically I'm right hand. Like I write with right hand, but everything else sports wise is ambidextrous. So I go, why the heck is my left arm so much stronger? I still to this day have no idea why, but there's a little tidbit about Brooke that you didn't know about me, but you're talking about arm wrestling. I'm like, come on. Hello.
You are my sister from another mother because I'm the same. I'm right-handed stronger, but this is what's interesting. Because your left hand is also very, very strong, comparison to great occur, if you arm wrestle left-handed, the chances are you're going to be more people left-handed just because you're so evenly keeled. So I'm bringing you to the next arm wrestling tournament. I'm putting money down on you.
I don't know about that.
Trying to win some money here. Here we go.
Taking the facts, not feelings, into arm wrestling world. There we go.
Who would have thought? He had no idea where we were going there.
I really didn't know this one, actually. So I just like, oh, hello. But it was one of the most stupid human tricks of like, what's something like, well, a lot of people know a lot about me. But I'm like, actually, while I'm ambidextrous, I'm much stronger with my left hand. And I have no idea why, but I am. So
see, that's why you are the Joe Rogan of the auto world right there. That whole reason right there.
Oh, mercy. Too much. Well, David, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show, being a part of this. And thank you for filling in. And it also just letting more people know about Total CX. Like it is, it took me a bit to, for you and I finally to connect up, to talk about it. And I was just like, man, this product, this service, what you all can do is pretty damn incredible. So if you've not had a chance to check out Total CX, get in touch with this man. He's told you how. He gave you his phone number. You can find him just about anywhere. Yeah. Talk to him. I mean, maybe you're not looking at switching, but you want to know more about it. Once again, reach out to this man and he'll make sure to take care of you. But with that, everyone, you all know the drill at this point. Find a way to serve today. Find a way to just better someone's life. Whether that is a kind smile, maybe it's opening the car door. Just be the joy in someone's life today. And that, everyone, we'll see everybody next week. You've been listening to Facts Not Feelings with Brooke Furness. Thank you for taking the time to listen. If you haven't already, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Leave us a rating. If you know a friend or a colleague will benefit from today's episode, share it with them. Until next week, find a way to serve someone. Find a way to help your neighbor. Remember, we are all in this together.